time to tell the neighbors the Charlie Evers Show is on. It's time that you can listen to eras long bygone. So email all your loved ones or call them on your phone and tell them Charlie Evers is on. It may be terminal wrinkles, it may be Hillary's hair, it may be on top of the courthouse, you bet old Charlie's there. You may be invited to dinner, but tell them you can't come. The Charlie Evers is on.
And away we go on this Getaway Friday, June the 12th, 2020, 13, coming up on 14 minutes past the hour. And sadly, in a way, after 6 years, this is the last new edition of the Charlie Evers Show that will air on this station. But as I have said, every day until sign-off, you will be able to hear the best of Charlie Evers on the sevens. 7:15 a.m. in the morning, 7:15 p.m. at night, and 1:15 in the afternoon. That is even on the weekends. You can listen to the best of Charlie from the last 6 years, and we don't know what shows they are. They are randomly picked every day. So listen to those. So you will hear that theme song again, and you will hear Charlie on this station until sign-off. But today is the last new regularly scheduled program, and I thought, well, we have to do something different. And we've done all the tributes, and we've listened to the clips of Charlie, but they've mostly been from a work perspective. And none of us who have spoken about Charlie are related to him. So we're going to talk today about his family life. And I think he would appreciate that. And we have in the studio his family. So that is very, very nice for the last new Charlie Evers Show over the next 2 hours. His daughter Amy, his grandson Brandon, his granddaughter Scarlett, grandson Reed, and wife Jeannie is in the studio as well today. Oh,
Nicholas.
Nicholas is also in the studio. Yes. My goodness. See, I forget.
He's as quiet as Mom.
Just hiding out over there. So I'm so glad they're all here today. I think Charlie would appreciate this. And I guess I said it's really not an interview. It's going to be more of a conversation. But Amy, you are his second eldest, is right?
Right.
Some people say oldest, but it's eldest, is it not?
Well, like middle oldest, because Kathy is 16 years older than me. So out of the two youngest, I'm the oldest.
But you're the talker.
Well, yeah, pretty much.
you inherited the gene.
Yeah,
the talking gene.
Yes.
So tell us what it's like, what it was like to have Charlie as a father.
Oh, it was always fun. Wherever we would go, we would always see people that knew Dad. So, I mean, you couldn't go anywhere without being stopped. And as a kid that got, you know, as a kid that sometimes got old, you know, to go to the store or go anywhere, and you're just stopped and you have to stand there while Dad talks to everybody. But, you know, as I got older, I realized how cool that was. So, you know, and now the kids have to deal with that, you know, when they go to the store with me. So,
it's inherited.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I always got the impression that he liked that. He liked being engaged in a conversation.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, in his older years when he couldn't hear so well, it kind of got embarrassing at times when we would run into people that knew him because he couldn't always hear what they were saying, but he would, like, nod his head and, you know, act like he was listening to what they were saying. And he was listening, but you knew he didn't hear what all they were saying unless they were talking really loud. And a lot of times I would say, you know, if I was there, I'd say, you got to speak up. Dad can't hear very well, you know, but so in the later years, it was harder when he engaged with people out in public. But, you know, all through growing up, until the last few years, you know, when he could hear, it was great. Because, yeah, everybody loved to talk to him, and he loved to talk to everybody. So
It's an interesting subject because we've all said it. It certainly is not wrong. In the history, 80 years, we've had broadcasting in Marion, and nobody was more well-known than he was. You know, Jeff Ruth says it, I say it, anybody who's ever been here knows it. When he passed away, we all saw it in the newspapers, we saw it on the AP Wire, we saw it in the Columbus Dispatch. What Marion broadcaster gets a page like that in the Columbus Dispatch?
Right, and to me, that's super cool. You know, and I'm so glad that, you know, the grandkids will be able to always have those memories, you know, from the newspapers and from the AP. I mean, that's crazy, you know, that those stories were picked up. But, I mean, I'm so proud to say he was Dad, you know, and, you know, all through the years, you know, when I would encounter people, you know, I'm one of those people who say, so are you from Marion? You know, yeah. Have you lived here all your life? Yeah. Do you know Charlie Evers? Yeah. Well, that's my dad. You know, and then they'd be like, what? You know, and then they want to spark conversation with me about it. So that's just kind of always how I've been. So, yeah, super proud of all the dad has accomplished.
From a daughter's perspective, what do you think made him so popular? And not everybody is.
Oh, boy. That's a good question. I mean, well, he wasn't shy, so that was good. So he wasn't afraid to talk to anyone. He knew a little bit about everything, and so that made him relatable. And, you know, I think people felt like they could ask him anything, and he would get them the answers. So... And he never put on like a show, you know, like he was always true to who he was. So he didn't ever like put on an act. Like Dad was just Dad.
You know, that's a big question. I have got asked that a lot since I started working with him 15 years ago. Is he really like that when the microphone's not on?
Oh yeah.
That was him.
Yeah, that was Dad. And you know, I mean, and you know, in the past few years, sometimes that made me a little nervous, because he would, you know, he wasn't afraid to say what he thought. You know, like a lot of older people, they get that, you know, I'm such and such an age, I can say what I want. And that was kind of nerve-wracking the last few years, but, you know, always funny.
Well, you know what's so interesting, and it always fascinated me about him, is when I first met him, people had this idea that he was very ag-oriented, and that he was very, that was his thing. He was agriculture. He wasn't into the news. He wasn't into that sort of thing. But he was.
Oh, yeah.
He read everything. He would come in. We could do these current event shows on Friday. He knew what was going on.
Oh, totally.
He watched it all. And as he got older, I think that came out in him more.
Well, yeah, because when we were kids, you know, we had donkeys and sheep and goats and all that stuff. And, you know, 4-H was a big deal. And then when he was farm director. But, you know, in the more recent years, you know, when they didn't have animals and, you know, mom and dad weren't 4-H advisors, you know, the animals and the agriculture weren't as relevant to him as everything else. So, and once the internet showed up, you know, he spent many hours just reading, and the internet to him was like the most fascinating thing ever, and he would just spend hours on the internet.
Well, it's very interesting to me, and I think this story, and I think somebody called in the week that he passed away, and I thought it was the most interesting story, because the last Friday he was here, which would have been in early March, there was a big dust-up at the Republican, they had a Republican fundraiser. And there was a big dust-up that morning, or the night before.
Oh, yeah.
The night before. Somebody had gotten thrown out, and the police had been called,
right,
and all this thing. So I was on prior to Charlie's show, and we talked about it a little bit. And at 10 o'clock, when he was supposed to come on, somebody called and said, well, we've got the lady who got kicked out, and she wants to come on. Mm-hmm. And I'm done for the day at that point. You know, I'm just going to go sit in the other room. And I said to Charlie, I said, well, handle it, you know. And he said, no. He said, you know, you do it, and I'll run the board. I'm going to sit here, because he was interested to listen to it.
Yeah.
We did like a 30-minute impromptu interview, talked about it at the end, and a call came in of somebody who was not into politics, which you have those people, and people who like to listen to Charlie's show and expect at 10 o'clock it's going to come on, which it didn't. And they were complaining to Charlie about how, you know, let's get on with the fun. Why do we have to talk about the politics? And he said, no, I was more than happy to give that period of my show over to that. So he really did understand the news and the importance.
Right. So many people have no idea what's going on in the world today, and that drove Dad nuts. And it drives me nuts, too, because, like, I love the news. I mean, I'm not into politics by any means, but I love watching the news. I watch the news all the time. And it used to, Dad and I would just, we would laugh because so many people are like living in this bubble and they have no idea what's going on in the community or what's going on in the state or the country. I mean, like, we were always like, how do people not know this stuff? You know, because, you know, that's the kind of stuff we thought was important to know.
Yeah, absolutely. And he was a sponge for knowledge.
Right.
He was very good at that. Brandon, you had, I don't know, how many times were you on with Charlie here? Quite a few.
Yeah, quite a few. I don't remember how many times. But
one of those played. It was so funny because we did not pick those episodes that aired the weekend after he passed away when we did the whole weekend of Charlie. We didn't pick those episodes out, and one of the first ones that played was one that you and he had done.
Yeah, I think it was from back in 2016. I don't remember what it was about, but I think right after me, Cousin Donald was on, and I just think that's pretty nice.
Well, he loved having his grandkids on. He loved what you guys were doing. He was fascinated by that. He would talk about that when you weren't here on the air, if he got a phone call or something like that. He loved to talk about that.
Yeah, he was always asking about work and how our life was going, despite the fact that I live in California. He and I would always talk about how my work was going, how I was doing. We just talk about how the weather was, and he just took pride in having a close family.
Oh, and Dad was so proud of Brandon and Jacob for being in the military. Oh, my lands. He would go on to everyone that he had a grandson in the Air Force and a grandson in the Marines, and, I mean, he would just try to explain their jobs, even though he probably really didn't understand what they were. But he was so excited to tell people about Brandon and Jacob.
Oh, absolutely. And he loved the fact that Scarlett and Reed, he loved that Scarlett was a performer.
Oh,
he
yes.
He thought that was the greatest thing. I think we always knew when Scarlett was performing because he would mention it
yes.
on the radio that he was going that night and he was going to the palace or he was
yeah.
going to some event. And he loved Reed's photos.
Oh, yes.
That would end up on Facebook.
Yes.
He thought that was the greatest thing.
Yes.
And they're here with us today.
Yeah.
Now, Scarlett, what do you remember about Grandpa Charlie?
Well, now she's lost her performer gene already.
I remember she sang on his show. Was it at the Bratwurst Festival? It was a Bratwurst Festival or the fair.
One of them, probably. Huh? But,
I don't remember that.
It was, yeah.
Oh, brother.
It did happen.
Yeah. Scarlett and Reed tend to do better on stage than in person. And someone's making a noise. Oh, dear.
Oh, that's okay. That happens.
A phone alarm, she said. and then you have Nicholas, who's just sitting on the couch with Grandma. He doesn't say much.
It's nice to have an audience.
Yes, yes.
He and
Grandma are pretty tight because they are very quiet.
Similar.
Yes. But then again, just like I said, Scarlett and Nicholas, they're fine on stage, but you get them in person and they act like they don't know how to talk, which I get really frustrated about.
Well, I think all performers might be that way. You know, that people who get up on stage, it's a little different.
Yeah,
you know,
suppose.
When you don't have the preparation.
I know, but I don't have the patience for that. I'm like, if you can sing or if you can do something on stage, you can do it in, you know, like, talk to people in real life. So maybe
are you
one of
a little
days.
Bit of a stage mom?
No. I mean, no. I want.
I meant that in the good sense of the word, not a bad sense of the word.
No. Like Scarlett's Miss Teeny Pop 2019 for the Popcorn Festival. And, and since the Popcorn Festival
has
been
canceled.
Yeah, since it's been canceled, it's become a 2-year thing. But, for like the pageants and stuff, I never like dolled her all up like those TV shows or anything. Like Scarlett is not into makeup, she's not into fanciness, which, you know, I'm kind of bummed about because I am. But like I've always let her be who she wants to be, which isn't exactly as fancy as I'd like her to be, but that's okay, you know. But you know, like just like her glasses, she loves wearing glasses. And people ask before, you know, like, oh, is she going to wear her glasses on stage? I'm like, yes, she is. That's her. You know, she's not going to take her glasses off to try to be somebody she's not. She loves her glasses, and that's what she does. So, you know, I've never tried to force her to do anything or look a certain way. So.
Yeah. Well, it's good to have individualism.
Right.
That's an important thing.
Right.
Now, Brandon, do you have a favorite moment of being on with Charlie?
I'd say they're all good moments. because I don't really remember a specific one.
Yeah, it's been a while ago.
It has been a while, and my mind's just flooded with work. But, yeah, I'd say there has never been a time where I haven't enjoyed being on the radio with him. Because it's always such an experience.
What was he like as a grandfather?
Oh, he was the grandfather that I could go around bragging about to people and be like, he's my grandpa and not yours. No, he was very loving, and I would always enjoy bringing my friends over to have them talk to my grandpa. And there was one time where I brought my two best friends in, and we just sat there listening to him talk for hours. And they enjoyed it. We were just a bunch of kids that were going around playing video games, and I said, hold on, let's listen to him for a little bit. And we all enjoyed ourselves. He just had a way with talking that pulled everybody in, and everybody can enjoy it. But he's just a good grandfather.
You know, you two would be the two to ask this of, because I've brought this up several times. I never heard Charlie yell.
Oh, yeah, no, he wasn't. He would only yell at the dogs.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he was always yelling at the dogs, and that would really make Mom mad. because we grew up in a house where you don't say, shut up. Like, you don't say that in our house, and Dad would say that to the dogs, and Mom would get really mad. But, no, Dad was not a yeller, unless it came to the dogs. So, growing up, he was always gentle. I mean, never raised his voice. If we were going to get in trouble, it was from Mom, you know.
So he was not the disciplinarian?
No. I would say no. No, I would say, we went round and round with Mom, not Dad. So, even though Mom's really quiet, too, but she would yell at us.
I was going to say, I've heard Grandpa say some things under his breath when something happened, but it wasn't ever really angry.
Right.
It was just like, oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know, the only time I remember him ever even being a little bit off temper, if there was something, we've got the air conditioner.
Oh,
I'm working
so
on
hot
it.
In here.
I'm working on cooling the place off. I know. I did wear a short sleeve shirt, though, today. So I'd make dress code.
Oh, thank heavens.
Yeah, I know.
Scott always wears winter clothes. Drives me crazy.
No. So does Grandma.
So does Grandma. Grandma.
We're all stuck in winter, I guess.
I guess.
But, you know, he was very much a stickler about sound. So if there was a remote or something that he was listening to, and he listened to a lot of them, if the sound wasn't right, the next time I would see him, it was not a yell or anything like that. He would just say, how do you think that sounded?
And then you knew.
And then I knew that right. Something did not sound. But he was also the first one. I remember when we were doing the Harding football games, he would email me during the game and say, this sounds great. I'm listening. Mm-hmm. You know, so he could do both sides of that well.
Yeah, but he definitely wanted you to know, you know, if it sounded good or if it sounded bad. You know, don't just leave you hanging, making you think it was one way or the other. You know, let you know.
Right. So. Now, with all he was involved in, working full-time, giving speeches, doing everything that he did in the 80s and the 90s, was that ever hard that he was gone?
Oh, no, not really, because when he worked all through growing up, you know, he would get on the air, like, you know, he'd wake up at like 4 in the morning, but then he would be home by like 1 o'clock or so. So he was still home a lot. It seemed like every evening, though, he had a meeting of some sort. During those years when he was the president of the Historical Society, we spent, when they bought Heritage Hall is when he was in charge, and oh my lands, we spent hours up at Heritage Hall. I remember sitting through meeting after meeting, and because I would like to go to meetings with Dad. I don't know why. Like, instead of staying home with Mom, I would go to meetings with Dad, but we spent I can remember vividly so much time spent up at Heritage Hall, or just meetings that he would go to. You know, he was always at meetings, you know, because he was so involved. But that didn't seem to bother us, you know. And now I know he got to go on a lot of trips with the radio station. That bothered Mom because he never got to take her. It was always just him. But growing up, he was around for everything. So, and we weren't into sports. And so it's not like he missed any sporting events because we weren't into any. So anything we were involved in, he was there.
Now, he did a lot of interesting jobs over the years. He worked at the cemetery, worked at the Convention and Visitors Bureau. Did he like those parts of his life?
Oh, yeah. Surprisingly, he found that job at the cemetery really interesting. I mean, he didn't work there all that long, but my lands, he had story after story of cemetery experiences. And he really thought that was neat, learning all about the cemetery. And after he worked at the cemetery, then he was like, I want to be cremated. I want to be, like, that's what started this whole thing. I want to be cremated. And we kept saying, no, you don't. Yes, I do. No, you know, like, you know, but he thought that was, you know, that's the way to go. He just kept saying that. That's just the way to go, you know, be cremated, you know, because he learned all the ins and outs of the cemetery, you know, how all that worked when he worked there. So
what do you think in life was his, outside of his family, was his passion? What kept him going?
Oh, boy. I mean, he loved nature. And unfortunately, you know, none of us girls really picked up on his love of nature quite as much as he did. I mean, Kathy probably more than anybody. But nature, he loved being up by the water. He loved being by Lake Erie. Bicycling.
Oh, yes,
bicycling. Oh, my lands. Yeah, yeah. And I feel so bad. The last time he rode his bike, he took his bike up to Put-in Bay. He was by himself. He took it up to Put-in Bay, and he fell off of his bike, and that was about the end of him riding his bike. Because he was so embarrassed, you know, like he went to take off from an intersection or something and tipped over, and it seemed like that was about the end of the bike riding. But I mean, up until just a couple, oh boy, probably just 2 or 3 years ago, he was riding all the time.
Well, he was in his 80s.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but yeah, bicycling was a huge passion.
What was bicycling in him? We know he did it for the Cancer Society, but he did it for fun. He did it right
up. Oh, yeah, he preferred to go over to like he was always at the Mount Vernon bike trail over in Gambier. He loved that bike trail. That was just because it was quiet and, you know, right in nature. It was, you know, he loved that place. So, yeah, just anymore, you know, riding bikes on the road can get kind of dangerous. So he preferred trails, you know, towards the end there.
He'd learned to ride his bike the other day.
Yes. Oh. Yes. I think it was just maybe 1 or 2 days after Grandpa died. One day, Reed was like, I'm going to learn to ride my bike without training wheels. And yeah, buddy, he did. So
there we go.
And we're like, Grandpa would be so proud of you. So Reed really likes bicycling. So
now, was he in events like that? Was he a gushing father? Was he just approving? How was he?
Oh yeah, no. That was what was fun about Dad is he was kind of like over the top. You know, like if he would have seen Reed ride his bicycle without a training wheels, he would have been so excited. I mean, like, you know, and I mean, that's just how Dad was. Anytime we walked in the room, well, hey, I didn't know you were here. You know, like, you know, and just anytime the kids did anything, you know, he was always, like, excited.
Yeah, he had that about things. And Brandon, I want to talk a little bit about the technology, because we've all talked about this. He had an email. That's how I would communicate with him, was by email. We never talked on the phone, really. He had a Facebook page that he ran. He had a smartphone, which he loved to be on. What do you think, and he's in his 80s at this point, right up till 85. What do you think that was about him? He loved technology.
Oh, that's all curiosity. I remember when I was little, whenever I'd go over, I'd always go to the computer room and get on the computer, and I had to sit through the dial-up, and me being born in 2000, there wasn't really dial-up around anymore, but he still had it. I'm assuming it was the cheapest for him, but he was almost always looking up new stuff. And even with his smartphone, I was paying for Wi-Fi before I left for California, and he would either use that or his smartphone and just look up so many different things. It was just his constant research on different things that kept him going with all of the technology, because he was interested in technology too. He was always fascinated on what came out and how things worked, and of course none of us know how the internet works, but he was always driven to find new things with it, and it was just the easiest method.
With the grandkids, with you, what did he like to talk about most? What was his favorite subject?
Oh, gosh. I think for us, it was more of the outdoors stuff. I know he got me into fossils. He got me into rocks. We would always go to Low Volk for the rock show. And I always enjoyed that. And he seemed to enjoy it too. But we'd go there, talk about fossils, a whole bunch of other stuff. In fact, I went to Put-in Bay not too long ago, and I went to Perry's Cave, and unfortunately the cave was closed, but they had the gift shop open, so I bought one of those big old bags where you could just sit and find rocks. I found this big old piece of amethyst, and I'm sure Grandpa would have loved, but there was that. And then I went to, I don't remember where it was, but I gave him this rock years ago, and he's always kept it on his bench right in front of his chair. And every time we would talk on the phone, he would always say, "Brandon, I love that rock you gave me. I always use it to get up."
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. There towards the end, I moved the bench where the rock was sitting, and he was not happy because he needed that rock to push himself up.
Yeah, he would always use that one rock I gave him. I found it in a river, and he would always talk about that one rock.
Yeah.
But we bonded over bird watching and fossils and rocks most. But other than that, we just had nice conversations about pretty much anything. A lot of times we would talk about what he was going to talk about on the radio, different things he was just looking up. And a couple weeks ago, I was sitting in his chair going through his little bench, and I found this little journal, and it had a whole bunch of different entries in it. And I got confused. I'm like, "Oh, I wonder what this is." So I started going through it, and I found, like, the spotted lantern fly, which I then, the next day, heard in that poem.
Yeah. It's fascinating. You know what? And we're going to take this call, because I think I know who this is. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, I think this is a wonderful idea to have the whole family on. I think this is just terrific.
Well, Jeff, we appreciate you calling in. I'm glad you're enjoying it, and we're so glad we could have you here the other night for the anniversary party.
Yeah, I enjoyed that, and I think a lot of people are probably going to get a little different view on what Charlie the Man was like. So I think it's great that the whole family's there.
Well, I am too. Thank you, Jeff.
Thanks, okay, Jeff.
Thank you.
You know, there was no gray area with Charlie, though. At least I didn't see it. He liked you or he didn't like you.
Oh, no, that's pretty much
that's
it.
That's pretty much it. Yeah. But I mean,
he didn't dislike a whole lot of people.
No, I would say in general, he liked everybody. Yeah, yeah, in general. Yeah, I mean, there were people on the TV that he would complain about.
He would always, always complain about the evangelicalists. He would always say, "Look at those scam artists."
Oh, well, in the last year, one of the funniest things I remember in the last year is when the whole thing happened with the weatherman in Columbus.
Oh, yes.
And he was on the air when that story broke, and I brought the paper to him. And there had been something between him and that weatherman that he did not like. There was something. Yeah, your mom knows about it.
I don't know.
Something. He didn't like the look of him. I know that.
I think it was the look of him. There was something about the look of him.
Yeah, it was the Buckeye Chuck, I believe it
did. Oh.
And when he got that news, he read the story on the air of what had happened, and we all know what happened now.
Yeah.
But then he went into about, you know, I never did like the look of that guy or what he was doing.
That doesn't surprise me.
And it was so funny because he would do stuff like that. And I never thought of him like that because, like I say, I never saw him lose his temper.
Right.
I never...
But yeah, if you watch TV with him, oh dear. Like, especially, like, you know, I mean, the news, some of the news reporters, I mean, he had the ones he liked and he had the ones he didn't like, you know, on the Columbus TV, you know, and so sometimes he would turn the channel if he didn't, you know, "Oh, there's that woman I don't like," you know, and he would turn the channel. So you just, watching TV with him was different.
You know what was funny? As he got older, I saw it in the last 5 or 6 years on this station, he did become a little more, and especially in the last year, I'm not going to call it political, but he would make comments about politicians that I had never heard before.
Oh, well, it's because he got a little grumpy.
You think, did he?
Yeah, I would say he got a little grumpy, a little more negative in the last, you know, couple of years, which was unfortunate, but I think that happens with age a lot of times.
Well, I want to talk about this because from your perspective, I always wondered, and the audience knows because that was one thing too. Were you ever embarrassed being his family? And with what he shared on the air.
Yes!
Because I was wondering. Because he told everything.
Oh, my lands. Well, I mean, not think, like, it wouldn't embarrass us about anything he would say about us. But, right. Like, sometimes we're thinking, oh, my lands, I hope the preacher isn't listening to this. Or just, you know, you know, sometimes I would call Mom. I said, did you just hear what Dad said? And she'd be like, yes. You know, I mean, so there were times, oh, and, you know, a lot of times, you know, because Kathy always listens on the internet from her work. And sometimes she would send me a message. She says, oh, you wouldn't believe what Dad just said. You know, so I thought, oh, I don't even want to know. You know, so in the last few years, you know, because he would say, whatever was on his mind, he just didn't, he wasn't too upset if he upset anybody, which I didn't particularly like that attitude. I still thought he should care what everybody, you know, if I, that's just what I thought. I don't like that attitude where, well, I'm such an age, I don't care what people think. I have told him, I don't know how many times, that is not the way to be, Dad. You should care. So.
Well, the one thing that was so fascinating to me, and this has nothing to do with anything like that, but last year, and everybody knew because when he came back, he detailed it. He did get pretty sick last year.
Yeah.
And he had to go to the emergency room a couple times for pneumonia.
Right.
And he ended up in a nursing home for a while, and he was on oxygen for quite a while. But the week he got out of the nursing home, he must have gotten out midweek. And I remember I was talking to him about, you know, okay, well, whenever you feel now that you want to come back, you just let me know. And that Friday morning, I can't remember who sent me the message, but he was on that afternoon. But no way I thought he was coming back, because he'd been in the nursing home. He'd been in the hospital. He was on oxygen. And he had to go down steps at that point. And I thought, well, he won't be here today. And it might have been you. Can you help get his oxygen tank down the steps?
Yes.
Not like
and
his
I thought,
oxygen.
No, he didn't. And he mentioned that on the. But here he came back to work 2 days out of the nursing home, carrying the oxygen, wearing the oxygen on the air, just and then loved to talk about it.
Yeah, I vividly remember this. The last time he was at Marion General last year. He kept saying, you know, I got to get out of here. I've got to get back. Scott needs me. I got to get back on the radio. I got to get back to my show. And he would tell every person that came in that hospital room, you know, I work 3 days a week. I got to get out of here. And they would be like, what? You work 3 days a week? You know, and he would then explain what he does. And the same way at the nursing home, he would tell everybody, I got to get out of here. I've got to get back to my radio show. Do you know I work 3 days a week? He says, you know, I mean, he would tell everybody and that he needed to get back to his radio show.
What do you think that was? Because he worked, he never did retire.
No, but thank heavens, that's why we're so lucky that you gave him the opportunity the last few years, because we all agree that that's what kept his mind going. You know, having to think about, you know, like different topics to talk about, different quiz type questions to ask. He was always in his mind thinking, you know, like, oh, I could ask that, oh, I could ask that, or oh, I need to look this up, you know, and he would jot topics down when he would think of them. But like him being on the radio still kept his mind active. And we've often thought, you know, like what, he may have declined a lot sooner if he didn't have this radio show keeping him going.
Well, it was interesting to me because we had worked at a previous radio station together where he was doing one day a week, and he was only coming in one day, and I thought, well, that's maybe what he wants to do. You know, he's of an age, now he's in his 70s, maybe he just wants to work one day a week. And he came here and started at one day a week, and then within the first year, he was up to three.
Oh, yeah. And he probably would have came in every day, but we were always like, Dad, you can't tie yourself up like that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because there was a lot, you know, because I'm a stay-at-home mom, there were a lot of days, you know, in the past, you know, few years where I have wanted to, like, take off with Dad for the day. You know, let's go do that. Oh, he's on the radio. You know, like, oh, we can't do that. He's got a show. You know, like, you know, so there, you know, I remember when he decided to go to 3 days a week, I said, you know, Dad, that really cuts down on any free time we have to go take Reed anywhere, do anything fun, you know. But we have the afternoon, or, oh, we have the morning. You know, it was still that important to him to continue the radio show.
Well, and it was always interesting to me because he would show up usually earlier than anybody else. We would talk during the breaks. We would talk after the show. He just... I always got the impression that he liked being a part of the group. He liked being a part.
Oh, yeah. And, like, it's so funny, you know, like, if he went on the air at, you know, 10 after 10, he would have to leave the house at 9:15. You know, like, why in the world does he have to leave so early? Like, he wanted to get here early. He was never in any hurry to leave. I mean, yeah, he loved being here.
Well, what do you think the radio career, what do you think it was about radio that stimulated him so much?
Man, I don't know. Even like, you know, sometimes we knew he felt crappy, but the minute you turned on the radio and heard him, it was like he was perfectly fine. For some reason, when the microphone was in front of him, it just, he came back to life. No matter how tired he was, or, you know, if he'd had a bad morning, you know, because a lot of times he just didn't feel good. But boy, you would not know it when you turned on the radio.
Well, and it's interesting, Brandon, because, you know, he had his audience, and as it does with all of us, people get older, and your audience gets older because they get older with you. But when we started giving gifts away, like Zumbezi Bay or the zoo, I would see people who would come in and pick up those gifts who were listening to him. It was a whole new group that probably couldn't have even been alive when he was on radio during his original stint. Young people like to listen to him.
Yeah, that's not surprising.
Yeah.
That's really not. I think it could be just the prizes, or it could be his personality. I would prefer more people go for the personality, but...
But no, Brandon's right. Like, up until he worked at this station, you know, basically, you know, I would just talk to Dad, or talk to people about Dad that were older. You know, I would never even think to ask somebody that was, like, younger than 40, hey, do you know Charlie Evers? Like, that just wouldn't be a thing. But, like, since he worked at this station, I would get excited. I, you know, Todd Schneider from over at Harding High School, I saw him post about Dad. Blair Smith, he's one of the chaplains at the prison here in town. He's my age. You know, he's posted about Dad. I mean, like, and it would be really exciting for me to see that people my age knew who Dad was and actually listened to his show.
And they did.
Right.
And they absolutely
did. But, I mean, you know, before he came here, I'd say he had definitely an older audience.
Yeah.
You know, and talk a little bit about that. When he passed away on May 24th, the outpouring. My good. What did you think of that?
Oh, my lands. I loved it. I still have to go back. I still have to go back. And I'm going to. I have to go back and thank all these people for all these nice things they have said. And I need to go back and print out a lot of the stories, because so many people, like, made posts, like, on Facebook, and in the comments they would tell me stories, or they would tell the family stories, that I thought, we have got to keep all these stories, you know. So I've got a lot of work to do to go back on Facebook and record all this stuff, because the outpouring was just fantastic.
His personality, how would you describe it?
Oh,
it was different.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, a people person. Just, he was just interested in everything. I don't know.
He did. Was there anything he wasn't interested in?
Sports.
Yeah, he didn't like sports.
Oh, my lands. No, he did not understand why people were so wrapped up with Ohio State football. Oh, my goodness. My husband, Tim, is a graduate of Ohio State School of Law, and so Tim is a diehard Buckeye fan, and he would just, you know, like, we would think of something to do on a Saturday, and Dad would say, oh, well, Tim's probably not going to want to go because he's got to watch football. You know, like, and he just never understood the love that Ohioans had for Ohio State football. Just, he couldn't figure that out for anything.
There was something about that.
Yeah, and he would always say, people act like football is God.
Yeah.
That's what he would say. And we were like, no, Dad, they're just fans. They just, it's like a, you know, it's something they love. You know, it's like, you like birds? They like football. You know, but now he did for a while get into the Cleveland Cavaliers. We took him up, oh gosh, I don't know, 4 or 5 times to Cleveland to see LeBron when he was in Cleveland. And he thought that was fantastic. He really, this was his first stint back in Cleveland, you know, like, and he really thought LeBron was so cool to watch, and the atmosphere at the games, he really thought that was neat. And for a while there, he was watch all the Cavaliers games, and he had some Cavaliers t-shirts and stuff, and he would follow that, but it kind of was a short-lived thing, like, you know, I mean, it was a couple years he was into that, but that faded. So sports just wasn't his thing.
Yeah. Well, was there anything like that, obviously the Cavaliers, but that he liked for a short period of time, really enjoyed it, but then just moved on to something else?
Oh, gee. Prop.
I don't know.
I'm sure after I walk out of here, I'll think of some.
Well, one thing I want to talk is, it never seemed like there was a whole lot of preparation when he would come in. Now, he would write questions for trivia, but as far as what he was going to talk about, I don't know if he ever thought about it or not.
Well, and like sometimes you know, if I was at the house, if we were out somewhere, he would say, oh, I got to jot that down. That's something good to talk about.
Yeah.
So, like, he might, like, jot down a word or two or a topic or something about an animal or, you know, like, just, you know, he would never really prepare. And, you know, I was around for him to give a million speeches. And even, like, his Memorial Day speeches and any kind of speech for anything, he did not write those speeches out. He might have jotted down some key words here or there, but that's one thing that I always admired about Dad, was he didn't read speeches, thank heavens. You know, he just got up there and talked. And a lot of times, I'd say more than not, he got totally off topic. Like, if he was at the Memorial Day Cemetery doing a thing, next thing you know, he was talking about bees. You know, I mean, like... It was very rare he stayed on topic, but that was because he didn't write anything out.
Was he reflective as he got older? Did he reflect back on the things he'd done and accomplished?
Yeah, some. But, I mean, I think, you know, as he got older, it was, I'm never going to be able to do that again. I'm never going to get to this place, or I'll never get to meet that person. So that was sad, you know, but yeah, I mean, I think he was pretty proud of his accomplishments, but he never, ever, ever bragged. Like, I mean, he would never tell people, you know, hey, I'm the guy that did this, or I'm the guy that did that. That wasn't Dad. We would brag for him. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good... Yeah. Well, you know, the ones that everybody remembers, of course, are Buckeye Chuck still goes on.
Yeah.
Peanut Push still goes on.
Right.
Lady Justice was a very big deal.
Oh, yeah. Every time we pass any kind of courthouse in any town, in any state, or see a courthouse on television, the kids always say, now, is that the place where Grandpa put the statue up? No, that was in Marion. Like, every time, you know, like, they... Yeah, especially little Reed. Like, he seems to think every courthouse is the one that Grandpa put Lady Justice on.
Well, and of course Evers Arena over at the fairground. That was a very, very, very big deal.
Yeah.
And it will live there. Do you think he understood who he was in the community? What would he have thought of all that outpouring that happened?
Oh, he was pretty humble, so he probably would have been like, This isn't necessary.
You think?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Let's take the phone call here. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Good morning, Scott. How are you doing this morning?
Good morning, Fred. How are you?
Oh, not too bad. I just had to give a call in and tell the guys how much I miss your dad and how much I enjoyed being around him. And he was just a hoot and a great friend for 40 years.
Oh, he really liked you. So, yeah, he really liked you, Fred.
I think we liked each other pretty much. I'm going to miss those conversations we used to have, not only on air, but off air, when we talk about things that most people wouldn't care about.
Well, yeah, because you knew history, and I guess that was something we hadn't mentioned. Dad loved history. Oh, my lands. History, yeah. History, history. You know, he would tell us more history than we wanted to know, because he seemed to know history about everything. But, yeah, that was what was great about your relationship with him. You could talk about history.
He was a great friend and supporter of the Mohawk Historical Society, too. I think I might have mentioned when I called in the day that he passed away or the day after, he was a charter member of the Mohawk Historical Society. And tell your mom that we'll keep those newsletters coming, because I'm sure she enjoys
them. Oh, I'll tell her.
Well. He was just a great guy. He was cut out of a special cloth, and I don't think there's going to be another one like him. You know, having grown up in southern Ohio and not moving up to this part of the state till 1978, I didn't know who he was. I'd heard the name before because he was known everywhere. But to actually get up here and have an opportunity to run into him and meet him and become really good friends has been one of the greatest pleasures and joys of my life. And I will miss him immensely. That's about all I can say.
Oh, thank you so much. That is so sweet of you. Thank you.
So listen, you guys take care, and tell your mother if there's ever anything that I can do, she has my number.
I will. Please keep in touch. Please,
right,
for sure.
All right, Amy. Thanks.
Thanks, Fred. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Fred Malone, who was on, I think, every third Wednesday with Charlie for the last 6 years. And, you know, those relationships he had were interesting, too. And he had them with Fred Malone and George Kasotis from the beginning here. Mm-hmm. And then James Anderson, who that developed later on.
Oh, yeah.
And he liked those shows.
Oh, my lands. Yeah. 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 He loved those people. Oh, James and Fred and George. Oh, yeah, he loved those guys.
Yeah, and he again, there was never any preparation, no questions to ask or anything like that. They just came in, and they talked for 2 hours, and it was fascinating to listen to.
Right. Right, because they all had stories.
They all had stories, and I think they all fed off of each other.
Oh, yeah,
in an interesting
definitely.
Way.
Mm-hmm.
Conversation is so much better than doing an interview.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It would be.
I would say so.
Yeah. Now, he was a great conversationalist. Did he like to go to parties? Did he like to go to reunions? Was he that type of person?
You'll have to...
I would probably say no.
No, really?
Nah, not so much. No, I mean, Mom is the one, you know, like... Mom's Harding class of 59. They get together all the time. And, you know, a lot of times he would just stay home. You know, oh, Jeannie can go. I mean, you know, those kind of things he wasn't as excited about. You know, like family picnics or reunions or just things. He would rather do, I don't know, just other stuff.
Was he at any time off to himself? Did he like to be alone? Did he like to have his own...
Not really. No, because I'm like, you know, one of the things that I liked so much about Dad was he always liked to be on the go, and I'm the same way. And so, I mean, for so many years, you know, okay, well, let's call Dad, see what he wants to do. Let's see what Dad wants to do. And whatever he wanted to do, there we were. You know, like, he loved going to festivals, events, any kind of historical setups, museums. I mean, he would much rather have been on the go than sitting at home. And I picked that up, like, you know, I know I'm bad about, you know, like, if there's a Saturday, I say, I do not want to waste the day. I'm not going to sit here and waste the day. And that's the kind of stuff Dad would say. You know, like, it's a beautiful day. We should be out doing something, you know, not sitting around the house.
Yeah, he would always talk about how he wants to get out and
get
go
out.
Do stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Even within the final moments, he just... One bit.
He was ready.
Get up.
Oh yeah, like I mean, oh yeah, I mean, you know, he was confined to a hospital bed the last 3 weeks, and I mean, like he wanted to get out of there. Yeah. He just kept saying, "Where can we go? Can we go somewhere?" And you know, we would have loved to have been able to get him to Lake Erie one more time or get into Pennsylvania one more time, but that didn't happen. But he really liked being on the go.
You know, and that keeps you young.
Right.
That keeps you moving.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to talk some more. We've got Charlie Ever's family here today, and it's a lot of fun remembering Charlie from that perspective. As Jeff Ruth has said, Fred Malone, the same thing. We've got a whole another hour of this. And don't forget, we are repeating Charlie's shows from now until sign-off at 7:15 in the morning, 7:15 at night, and 1:15 in the afternoon. Don't miss those every day, including the weekend. They will air on this station. Are you cooling off?
Just a little bit.
I keep looking.
I keep looking at these cookies, though. Apparently, Abby Croman made some.
They're really good.
Oh, Scarlett just threw in that they're really good. I mean, they're really tempting me sitting there.
Oh, that's right. You're on the no gluten thing, right?
Oh, I'm trying. It's not working out very well.
I mean, forgot about the no gluten.
Yeah. Dr. Peltier told me to try to not eat as much gluten because he thought it was causing headaches. And I'll be darned, when I don't eat the gluten, I'm not getting headaches, but I have a hard time, like, going without it. And because it doesn't, like, make me sick or anything, I'm going to eat it anyways.
There you go. We're coming up on a break. Have a cookie. We're going to be back in 10 minutes. Stay tuned.
Presidential contender and governor, John Kasich.
On the other side, just a second to talk over...